Read this
real close.
As you can tell, my
y'all are used to this. Every time I come back from camp, my voice has issues, and I would tell you that it was from yelling at all the kids. But they were just absolutely fantastic. I didn't have to whoop Fabian but three or four times, so it was good, right?
How many of y'all read your bulletins already? Okay, so y'all know why I'm happy. Last week, I sang a song. Y'all remember what it was? The song was Worn. I sang it, thinking that I was what I was going to feel like today after a week of church camp and all that heat and all the activities and stuff. But in retrospect, it wasn't really that. In retrospect, what I was singing was about my spiritual condition. Over the last few months, I've been asking God to see His handiwork, to see His Spirit move. I needed a sign. The last couple of years have been very, very discouraging, and not for me, not just me, but for a lot of folks. And so when I went to camp, I had, Lord, now's the time to show me. Boy, you better really want what you're asking God for, because sometimes He gives it in spades. And so standing before you today is a preacher who's not only encouraged, but is elated by seeing God's movement. I am grateful for Dan, Lisa, and Joey, because they understand what it was like. They saw God's Spirit move. As you may or may not know, we took 13 kids to camp. Two of them were already saved. Look, we're not crying. We're not crying today. But it was the sweetest group of kids. And about 10 of them were under conviction. And come Wednesday night, and I think this is the first time it's happened at camp. I mean, usually when someone comes to know the Lord, usually it's after the camp or after the worship meeting at. One lady came down with tears in her eyes. She did all the work. I didn't have to do anything. I just asked her what happened. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I know He still works." Little did I know what the next 24 hours would entail. All right, by the time Wednesday night, the total was 6. And by the time Thursday evening came, I preached the evening service. By that time, I had no clue what the number was, because apparently God was just working all over the place. By the time we come home, 10 had come to know Jesus Christ, the Savior. God must know that I needed that. And He knew that these kids, let me tell you something. God works in ways that I don't understand. But I asked Him, and He delivered so many blessings. And the first sermon that was happening at camp, and I think set the tone, it's not his sermon, but is God is real. And I think that set the tone for the entire camp, because even us adults sometimes forget that God is real. Sometimes I forget that God is real. And so He showed up and He showed out. 32 kids out of probably 150 kids. Out of 150 kids come to know the Lord at that camp. Probably more kids
that we just don't know about. And the tone was set by the idea that God is real. We kept it simple. And in case you're wondering, because I criticize this too, the emotions and all of that that goes on, and she's safe, so I'm going to be saved. I do not believe in all my heart that that happened. I talked to each of these kids. God was dealing with them in different ways, regardless. They came to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because God was talking to them, that God was real. And so as we go into the message, I want you to know that the message is short. At least I hope it is. But I want you to know that these kids experienced the reality of God. And I want you to experience it today also. Us adults did, who were there. Thursday night, when our late night, or kind of our goodbye meeting, there was a celebration. One that cannot be faked, but simply because of the joy of what God had did for us that week. I could close the sermon right now before I even start it, because this is real. In Jeremiah 29:13, you can turn there later, but it'll be a while before I get there. The question is God real? Is God real? And my answer is, God is real. Is God real? And is He relevant? Is it really possible for a God you can't see, a God that you can't touch, to be real, personal, and relevant in your life? Now, we've all had those thoughts, and we've asked these same questions. Because sometimes in our lives it seems that God is not real. We get so involved in this world, or maybe we're not seeing God's blessings enough, or maybe we're just drifted so far from Him. So how do you know that God is real? I'm not going to be talking much about the natural and physical and scientific evidence for God's existence. I could go there if I wanted to. There's a ton of evidence for that. So how do you determine what is real in the first place? Seriously, how do you determine what's real? Is it feelings? Is it feelings? Boy, we had a bunch of feelings this past week, didn't we? And yes, sometimes the emotions can get so overwhelming and still not believe that God is real. It's the emotions, because maybe somebody else is crying. Maybe someone else is excited. Maybe it's the idea that everyone else is, so I will too. So what does it take to believe that He's real? If you believe in everything that you feel in this life, you are in trouble. When you are teenagers, and they're not quite, they're getting close. When you're teenagers, you remember how you felt about that one girl or that one boy? Yeah, you used the L word, didn't you? You loved that person. Then you broke up the next day. You went on a feeling. And that doesn't work, because feelings are very, very... you have to distrust your feelings a lot of time. Ever feel like everybody hated you? Even though that wasn't true, but everyone hated you. You felt that. You cannot
believe you. You cannot believe in God is real simply by feelings. Maybe sight. Maybe if you could see God, you would believe in God. You would believe God is real if you could just see Him. All right, you remember a few years ago? What was that stupid dress that went on Facebook that went viral? What was it? Was it green or blue? Well, I didn't see it that way. I'm sorry. Blue and pink. But see, when I looked at, or sometimes they'll tell you what it is, and that's exactly what you'll see. The optical illusions. Can you believe everything you see? All right. I'll give you an example. What if you saw me in front of the liquor store up here? You're not necessarily. You won't, by the way. I'm sorry. Quit looking. But you won't. What you see is not necessarily what was real or truth. So you can't go by sight. So what you say is not necessarily real. There are many things that you don't see that you know are real, and you probably never doubted. George Washington. I've never seen George Washington. Was he real? Do you doubt that he was real? We know in history books tell us he's real. We've seen drawings of him. So he must be real, but you've never seen him. You know, there are countless and reliable, irrefutable accounts about Christ. The whole God, the whole, you realize this is also a history book, right? His story, it tells of what happened and who it happened to and the whole works. You realize that there are other documents, historical documents that talk about Jesus. Jesus was real. You know, can you, how many of y'all have seen China? I asked the question because somebody might have actually been there. But I've never seen it. I've seen the pictures of the Great Wall, and I've seen all kinds of videos and stuff. And I do know that they're not too good of people right now. But I've never been there. So how do I know that China is real? We know it's there are millions of lives that God has changed. The testimonies of people who will declare, just like I'm declaring this morning, that He's real. I asked one of the young ladies, "Do you know now that He's real?" She goes, "Yes." And there have been millions and millions of those who have encountered God and know beyond a shadow of a doubt He's real. Now, to someone who's never met Him, who doesn't know, they can't understand until they start talking, until He starts talking and dealing with them. And then the old classic example. Everybody take a deep breath. Did you see what you just inhaled? Have you ever seen air? No, you have. You might have seen some of the stuff that's in it. Or you might have seen the winds blowing the trees. You see the example. You see the effects of it. I saw God working 3 days ago. I saw the wind blow, the Spirit move. And I needed to be reminded that He was still real and He's still relevant. And I want to bring that to you today, that He is real and He's relevant to us. And I think He's always working. I just think that sometimes we're not watching. I think sometimes we are not looking for where He's working. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We spend most of our time looking at the things that are seen and quit searching for the things that are unseen. So how can you know something you can't see is real? How can you know without any doubt that God is real? Because if He's ever spoken to your heart and you wanted to make Him quit, a lot of people think that conviction is simply someone's emotions carrying them away. But you know how many times I turned the Spirit, God was talking to me and I said no. I wanted that feeling to go away and I couldn't. That was not me. That was God speaking. So, what is more personal and more relevant? A Facebook chat with a stranger or a talk with a close friend? Obviously, the talk with a close friend. Or would you rather have an unlimited credit card or a $20 bill? The answer is obvious. You want the unlimited credit card. So the question is really, how can you know God is real and experience God in a personal and relevant way? How can you? And we choose to ignore the more important things in our lives and rather to focus on the temporal things, the temporary things in our lives, the things that aren't really important. So, all right, there's a God. Maybe He is real. And maybe you've experienced Him. But maybe, just maybe, you come to know Christ as your Savior, but He stopped being your King in your life. And you started focusing on this world more than you started focusing on the world to come. Maybe you've not grown close to Him, but grown apart simply because, well, I'll tell you this, He didn't move. God didn't move, you did. And maybe you've forgotten the power and the majesty of Him, the things that He can do, things how much He loved you. It's all right to doubt. It's human. It's just a human reaction. In John 20, in fact, 24 through 29, it says, Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Him, we've seen the Lord. But He said to them, unless I see the nail marks in His hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into His side, I will not believe it. A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, did you notice that the doors were locked? He came through the doors. And said, peace be with you. And then He went right over to Thomas. Then He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out and put your hand into my side. And He said, basically, stop doubting and start believing. And Thomas said to Him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you've seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's talking about us. We're blessed because we believe by faith. We don't have the option of saying, well, I'll believe it if I'll put my hand and my finger. He's not going to do that for us. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Jesus met Thomas where he was at, and that was an area of doubt. And He'll do the same with each of us, wherever you're at. If you need a reminder that He's real and you need Him into your heart and your life, He'll meet you tonight, today, right where you're at. So how is God real to you personally?
I'm going to give you just a few short ways to that you will experience God and know God in a real and personal way. You see, He is the only one you're going to experience purpose and hope in life. God promises us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." He's the only way you're going to find true purpose and hope in life. And when you find that, you'll find the real things in this life, and you'll find the real God. If anything else in this life you think is going to give you real purpose and real hope, well, it has nothing to do with God. That He's the only one that can give you that purpose and hope for a lifetime. He is the only way you'll ever experience love and acceptance. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." And it continues on in Romans 8:38-39, saying, you know the passage, nothing that's going to separate us from His love. There are a lot of folks out here and a lot of kids. And it's one of the reasons why I love camp so much, because a lot of our churches bring kids that, well, they just don't have. They don't have the advantages a lot of kids do. Their family lives are really terrible. Their self-esteem is almost nothing. And you can almost pinpoint these kids. They're hurting. They feel unloved. They don't feel accepted by the world. God will accept you. God will and has and continue to love you. But there are groups in this world who reach out to these kids, and they'll say, "Try this, do this, and when you do, you'll find love and acceptance." And boy, is it all a sham. We need to start reaching out to those people and showing them who can give them permanent love, everlasting love, and everlasting acceptance. "I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I continue my faithfulness to you." Yeah. God is that one who can only get love. He's the only one who can love us everlasting. He's also given us friends and sisters who love us like He does. Our church family. Yeah, it's important. Church is important. Not because necessarily the services and or the preacher, or all the music and all that. If you want to know why church is important, it's because each one of you in our pews who love and care for each other in God's love. That's the reason why it's important. A support system, because you'd be amazed how many kids, how many adults do not have that in their lives. Someone they could call family. Another reason, He is the only way you'll ever experience joy and fulfillment. Jesus said in John 6:35 that only He could meet the deepest desires of your heart. He said, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me, he will never be thirsty." He's the only way you'll ever have true joy, true peace. I've been happy a lot of times. I was happy the moment I got this phone. This phone, it was awesome, and I was so happy. And that was about 5-6 years ago, I guess. I hate it now. You know why? Because the Pixel 6 is out. And this has got cracks in it. It no longer brings me happiness. And you'll find that whatever, and the Pixel 6 would do it for a while, I think. I'll never forget when I was, I'm going to stray a little bit, but I'll never forget back in the old days when computers would start coming out, and I had this Tandy 1000, and it had one, and if you're not a geek, don't worry, you know, if you have no idea, just, you know, don't worry about it. It had 128K of memory. Okay? I have more in my watch than, you know, a whole lot more in my watch than I ever do now. And I told my wife there was this expansion card and it was going to go to 256K double. You remember what I said?
This is all I'll ever need.
I've said that I don't know how many times. You see what I'm talking about, happiness in this world? It's not lasting. But with God, you'll find that the happiness and the joy and fulfillment comes with Him. And it'll be permanent. He is the only way that you're ever going to experience real peace and real security. He promises us a type of peace in Philippians 4:7. He promises, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. We can't understand the peace. Wow. Think about that. Insecurity. You see, just those two things alone solve so many issues of people in need today. People who are down and depressed, people who are living a life that's full of misery and trials and tribulations. Just that alone, that promise that He'll give us a peace. That peace is not only in good times, but that peace will hold you when everything is falling apart in your life. Sure, you don't like going through those things, but you know that in the end, everything is going to be okay. And that peace, people look at you, well, how come you're just not falling apart? Because I've got a peace that passes all understanding. He is the only way you'll experience real life. John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. He said, I came that they may have life, real life. And have it abundantly. He promises us a life for eternity with Him after you die. In John 6, I don't have that up there, Joey, but John 6, verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. If you don't know Christ today, you are the walking dead. You don't have real life. You have temporary life. And only God can promise you to have everlasting life and have it abundantly. No one has ever offered half of that and come through on it. Life isn't always peaches and cream and everything is little rainbows and everything's great. And we want our kids to experience that part of life as long as they can. But life happens, and the reality of life. And by the way, in case you don't know, life is not fair. It's not fair. You know, but whatever you go through, He'll walk through it with you. He'll give you joy, true joy. He'll give you hope. He'll give you purpose. And He'll give you peace in your life. Old preacher G.K. Chesterton once said, that God is like the sun. You can't look at it, but without it, you can't look at anything else. And even though you can't flip a switch and see God appear, He can be so real in your life that nothing on this planet can make any sense without Him. I've used this example before, but I'll never forget when I was a younger man. We were at Collegeville Church. And we had an old, he was 95 years old, blind, but he could still get up to the piano and play. And he had a sweet, sweet spirit about him. And when he called, and I was sitting on the same row he was. And they called on him to pray. You know what he did? He just turned. He didn't look up, didn't look down. He just turned where nobody was and started talking to God, talking to Jesus. He couldn't see him, but he knew that Jesus was there. And he talked and just like had a conversation. There was no these and thous. There were no amens. It was just like, I'll see you later. And a little later on, he did see him. So, you can come to know and experience God in a personal way that's more real and relevant to you than the person sitting next to you or the seat that you're sitting in. I know that it's true because in Jeremiah 29, we actually got to our text verse. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's why we're here. That's why we went to camp last week. Get away all the distractions. Let these kids find what they were looking for. Got to do it. I went around camp. Now look, I am a completely different person than I am at camp. I am a mature, I don't know how to put, Dan, can you hit? No, don't. But when I get to camp, I become a little kid again, and I have fun. And I like teasing the kids. And so what I would do is I go around, and I can't sing it, but there's an old U2 song, and most of the kids know it today because it's on a movie called Sing 2. And I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And I would go around singing that until one boy started doing a duet with me. And I just do it. And then I go up to him. I say, have you found what you're looking for? And the point being is that we had 10 who went to camp that found what they were looking for. They sought God. They believed, sought Him with all their hearts. And they found Him. I'm encouraging you to find Him today. If you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you need to re-find Him. Maybe you need to pray to God, I need a sign here, Lord. I need you to see your Spirit work. I need to believe with all my heart. I need to understand once again that my God is real. I hope that you'll experience God in such a real way that nothing and no one will ever compare. God loves you, and He desires a relationship with you right now, no matter where you are or where you're coming from. That's what He's wanting. He's wanting you to know that God is real. Quit pretending that we are living in this world when we need to be living in His. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know your status with God right now. All I do know is this. That if the Lord is speaking to your heart today, if the Lord is dealing with you, it's real. You may be denying it, but it's real. Will you just say yes to whatever it is He's wanting you to do? may be baptism. It may be you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you've forgotten how really he needs to be in your life. Maybe it's for a greater service, a rededication of life, whatever it may be. But especially if the Lord is dealing with you for salvation. Can I ask a question? Didn't it feel good to finally say yes to God? It did, didn't it? Would you say yes to him today if he's talking?